It's working. We're live.
We're live.
We did it.
Oh my goodness.
Alive. Live and alive.
Awesome. Love it.
Oh my god. I forgot to tell you like about the surprise at the end, so we'll just catch you off guard.
There's surprises. Okay. Oh good. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear we're live and we're filming. I mean, yeah. Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. We try and make accounting fun. That's what we do at Bad Hawk Burger, CPA, CGMA. But welcome to Finance Friday. I have who's probably one of my favorite and a pretty long time standing, if it wasn't a client that I kind of brought along from elsewhere.
Woohoo!
Vishal, I'm going to let you do your own introduction because, first off, I don't have a bio, and second, it's more fun that way.
Absolutely. Happy to. Digital marketing, serial entrepreneur. I've been in the digital marketing space since 1999. So like 23 years, kind of played all aspects of the digital marketing space from being a network or a publisher, a digital marketing network and an advertiser. Played these roles more than once. In multiple ventures as well as with multiple other companies, and I enjoy what I do. I think that's the most important part. And I try and hire people. Yeah. And I try and hire people that enjoy what they do too. It just makes for a really fun environment, and it keeps people around because they when they have fun.
And just to make you feel really old, they don't call it digital marketing anymore. They just call it marketing.
Oops. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, because people would be like, what is that? Like 20 years ago. It's marketing. You're right.
There used to be paper marketing, and then there was digital marketing. And
thank
now you. We just call it the kids these days. They just call it all marketing. So
the kids. The kids.
These days. That's how it goes. That's what I have been told. That it's just marketing now. It's not digital marketing. I'm like, okay.
It is. You're right. It is just the way it is.
Yeah. It is. It's like living in the metaverse. So I've had the honor of watching your company grow from like very tiny, very near the beginning of it into just absolutely mind blowing at this point to me, like how you guys keep growing. And it seems to be pretty exponential. So how can you talk about a little bit, like how does what you need at those early stages change and morph over time? From an accounting, finance, etc. perspective, just to like give people an idea of like, what gets you here, does it get you there? So what did you need here that you didn't need there, or vice versa?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty loaded question. There's it's good. What you need at the beginning is low cost, so typically nobody, and you just squat and put things together yourself. At the very start, and then when it starts to actually need some sort of formality, and you need to actually file a tax return that has revenue and costs that are real, then you kind of go to your CPA and you're like, okay, I just need you to file this, right? And it goes from that early stage of like, can you file this, to all right, well, we're having a lot of invoices and a lot of bills, can you help us with that, because it's tough to organize. And with today's with today's environment, right, working from home, I work from home, we don't have a central office, we have people all over the world, from Ukraine to west coast of the US, east coast of the US, Israel, we've got people in every corner of the earth working with us. Some of them are contractors, some of them are actually employees. And it's having not having an office and having a virtual sort of fractional, in this case, it was went from a CPA to like a bookkeeper in the second stage. It's helpful because, you don't have to house them one person that's full time and house them in an office. Right.
And, and that has a lot of overhead costs, like the overhead costs alone are astronomical.
Yeah, absolutely. And computers and how much printer paper sometimes, depending on the type of person, right? Just a lot. It's maintenance, right? You don't have any of that, right? It's just easy. So, all right. Well, I guess what was really helpful is that you offer multiple stages. So it went from the CPA that just filed to somebody that can handle our books and communicate with advertisers and publishers. And in the digital, sorry, in the marketing space, it's like,
In the market, it's not digital. I mean, it is digital, but.
more specifically, performance marketing. Like, performance marketing is a very specific niche area of marketing, and you know, it's there's a lot of what you're dealing with sometimes smaller and medium and some larger companies. They change names like once every year, so keeping track of who you're invoicing and who you're billing.
But this industry is like, I feel like notorious for that. Right? It's
It
like, yeah, Fred. I'm like, Fred? Oh yeah, that they used to be called this. Now his business is called that. And it's always been like that too. I mean, you're not my first rodeo in this industry, and it's always been like, I don't want to say sketchy, but it's kind of sketchy. People
they just
like
want to have
just move
multiple
around
business.
so much, you know, things change so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I think it has to do with the pace of the industry. And you know, moving from like, if you're performance-based, it allows you to kind of, we won't make this whole thing about performance-based marketing, but it allows you to be flexible and moving where you want to be as a publisher or an advertiser. You're really just you're getting paid as a publisher for something you're providing on the action, not on a, you know, we're selling you a widget, and then that widget's going to become something. You actually sell them a conversion, like a an a user, end user. So that publisher has to then become very nimble and agile, and hence the name changes, the different websites. The you know, so
Yeah.
it gets the point being, it gets super
It does.
confusing, you
It
know. And
does. Yeah, for
when you're
sure.
invoicing and billing, and it was this name one day and another name, and oh my gosh, it's you know, and then they've got three companies the same person owns, right? It's like, wait, so it can be confusing to keep track of, and you know, keeping on top of collections, you know, making sure you're getting paid on time, making sure you're not paying anything late, because again, these are performance-based advertisers, so they could choose to run somebody else, you know, they could pay them a similar amount, right? That just pays their bills on time. So it's you know, being on top of it is really important. And I found that that's you know, from a bookkeeper went from like CPA to bookkeeping, and then more like almost like a internal resource, right? That is like, well, if we didn't get the invoice, can you email them for me, right? So now it's you're becoming an integral part of our company, and across more than one employee of yours, right? So that's having that redundancy, right? So if somebody falls sick, you know, we still have gears moving, right? Things are
Yeah,
still happening.
you get the backup set if you had that one guy in the office
Yeah.
and he was out, he gets hit by a bus, right? It's always my go-to. What if I get hit by a bus? You
Exactly.
need
Exactly.
those business con it's really business continuity is what you're talking about. It's do you have the processes in place? Do you have the people who know the processes, or can you break it down small enough and easy enough and have like basically it's the new buzzword, SOPs. Do you have the operating procedures that someone else could just open the digital book and say, okay, I need to do this, that, and the other thing so that the wheels don't stop turning and everything doesn't just fall apart because someone got
Yeah.
hit by a bus.
Absolutely. It's important. I mean, it's not that's not only that's one part. Another part is that we get a specialist, right? So we have somebody that is a specialist in AR, one that's a specialist in AP, and we have another specialist dealing with payroll stuff, you know, that knows the platform and how to administer it and onboard new employees and onboard new contractors and share with us how we can share our calendars and company handbooks, right? So you get specialists, and I think that's like the way that things work. Like I'm a big proponent of Fiverr. I use Fiverr for anything I
Yes.
can. Like,
Yeah.
oh look, I dropped a glass. I need to get Fiverr to somebody. No, I mean literally anything specialized. Like you're like, you know, you want somebody that is that can help us with SEO, but for gated walled accesses, so meaning that when something when it's a login experience, and you can specifically find somebody that has expertise in that, and they can you know teach you how to get around the SEO issues that you might have if you have a username and password in the front. Just the same as when I'm looking at you know services for accounting, there's specialties within that, and I feel that I
Oh,
get
a
you know
hundred,
specialties in
a
each one.
1,000%. It's funny because, I kind of came up like I said on the other side of the desk. Like I was before I was a CPA, I was controller, director of finance, CFO type stuff, and then you kind of get what it's like to run the one organization. Then when you hop on the other side and you do the CPA thing, you're like, okay, well now I'm dealing with taxes and books, and I'm looking at it at like this very high level view instead of like into the nitty gritty. So you kind of see the difference that like what your focus is. really. It's like, what are you focused on? Because, like, you're talking about APAR. To me, when I'm in, like, tax mode, I'm just like, is this right? Like, are these numbers right? Is this good? Whatever. Deal with it next year. It's fine. Like, keep moving.
Right.
But the day-to-day, like, oh, that AR at 90 days, like, that's not good. Like, this is a problem. Right? So you have to be able to, like, kind of switch hats quickly to have that. Or you have the people, like, the AR person who's wearing that hat. And they see that and they can, you know, come to me, come to you, come to whoever and be like, hey, what do I do? This shouldn't be this way. And it's kind of nice to have those multiple eyeballs looking at things because, you know, I might see something, you know, oh, you posted this in the wrong year. It's going to screw up my taxes. Whereas they were just paying a bill and put the wrong date in because it happens, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you have like you have Liat and you have Jordan dealing with all sorts of other things. But then when you need like a specialist, like, hey, bet somebody's not paid their invoice and it's a big one and they're like 10 days past and we're having a cash flow crunch, then you come in and you're like, hey, all right, let's look at your cash flow analysis.
And I'm really mean.
It's not like collections wise, but it's also that whole idea of like understanding what that means to you today, right?
Right.
And what does that mean for your other accounts? How can we make it work regardless, and then be 5 or 10 days late on that cash on that payment? And how do we make cash? So that expertise, that's where I think the quote unquote CFO expertise were to come in versus the you know, bookkeeper versus an AR or AP. And that's helpful too. And another area that I found really helpful is when you did my personal and my other company, like I have a pretty complex structure, and you were able to like look at that and say, well, here are some tax benefits, and that was like the, like, all right, cool, now I can save money, you know, it's awesome. So yes,
I often tell people, like, I am not looking to make my clients broke. Like, I need to help them find the money also, and that's part of what I really actually enjoy in the tax planning. You know, it's things that sometimes are obvious to me. You'd be surprised how many CPAs don't engage in any of that strategic thinking at all. Uh-oh, I think we lost Vishal. Let's see if he comes back. vamping. Uh-oh. Oh, you came back. I'm like talking. I'm like, no, what happened?
Isn't that sort of a in the tax savings sort of?
Oh,
side,
yeah.
Right?
There's so many CPAs and tax folks that don't really kind of like look at and say, what's missing, or what else could you do, or how could you do this better? To the point where I'm often shocked. when people come to me as new clients and I'm like, oh, nobody ever told you to do this, or like, no, no wonder you're getting audited. You know, you shouldn't have been doing any of these things. I don't know what to attribute it to, but it's what I really enjoy doing. It's fun. It's like kind of gives you a puzzle to solve, right? And it's like a game. It's really like you're gamifying tax situation for better or for worse. But, It absolutely is part of what I like. And the challenge of a growing company is, you know, what the tax advice is when you're little is not the same as when you're big, and things start to matter that didn't before. But you can also do things that you couldn't do. Like when you don't make a lot of money, there's a lot of tax saving things you can do when you are making money. You take it to a certain point and then it's like, well, now you're just making so much money. Just pay the taxes. Don't worry about it.
It's called wealth preservation, I think. That's what I've heard when you get to that stage, that it's called wealth preservation.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think, what else could we touch upon? I feel like it was everything. That one question I asked at the very beginning.
Let's open it all up. Yeah.
All right. So here's what I'll do. I'll jump to the surprise at the end to put you on the spot.
Yay. Oh, okay.
I always like to ask this. It's just like a humanizing question. Like, do you have any interesting hobbies or
anything
like unusual talents, things like that we can learn about you?
No talents. Fatherhood's definitely challenged me. I realize I have no talents. No. What is it, talents or hobbies?
I have a lot of weird hobbies.
heard about your sword fighting, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd say one thing I really enjoy is I just like building and taking things apart and putting together. But I like business. That's what I do. So I always end up turning my hobbies into a business at the end of it, unfortunately. But
That, that's either fantastic or it's terrible.
it's kind of a bit of both. So I started this hobby, I don't know, maybe like 3, 4 years ago of buying motorcycles right, like on Facebook Marketplace, and usually like a little shabby, and bringing it in and fixing them up, and then riding them on a Sunday morning at like 5 a.m. because I have 3 kids and a wife, so I'm like very very cautious. I go out in the countryside, and by the time I come back, everybody's kind of just waking up. And but that's a hobby. It's more clearing my head, fixing it, and riding motorcycle.
Wow.
Yeah,
You
enjoy
know, it's
it.
crazy. I have another client that like leads these motorcycle like group outings.
Wow, that's cool. That's cool.
He really
I
wrote
like
a whole
that.
book about it. I was like, oh, who knew? I would not take you for a motorcycle person. So, okay.
Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Yes.
Right.
That's a good
Exactly.
book. Good book.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right,
But yeah.
cool. Well,
No
now I know
talent.
who to go to when I need to fix my motorcycle.
Okay,
Have a
sure.
motorcycle? I
I
don't
know
have
you
one.
don't.
It's okay. All right, Vishal, thank you
Absolutely.
so much.
Thank you for
And
having me.
this was a
Yeah.
lot of fun. A lot of fun. So we try to keep it fun when we do accounting, even when it's tax season. So that's how
Yeah,
we
I could
roll.
say that definitely relative to my previous experience is a lot more fun. I agree.
Yes.
I agree.
We try. All right, thank you so much. And everyone out there, we will see you next time.
Take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.